Yes, the Biden regime is waging war against you. True. But he doesn't need. He doesn't need to. Not when he's got Crapple, Pride Book, Twitter, Fang, Google, and all the rest of them doing the dirty work. This is how this is going down. If you have an account with Bank of America, I suggest you might want to reconsider that, especially after you hear this. But this just goes to show you, folks, the perception that it's just government that ushers in the tyranny and government that ushers in and then acts upon the claim of all of us being domestic terrorists. They don't have enough people to get us all. They use Bank of America, Pride Book, Twitter, Google. Who am I missing? Phone company, AT&T, call logs, Comcast, Verizon, who will all volunteer. Hey, man, don't regulate me. What Bank of America did is cowardice, sinister, and unacceptable. Now, just imagine if you were in the Republic. Now, let's play their game for just a minute just before you play Tucker. Let's just pretend that Texas actually did go, that's it, pulling the ripcord, we're out. And we're successful in it. And there were still banks of America in Texas. Texas would be fully within its jurisdictional, legislative, and moral rights to go, close all your branches. We're making you illegal here. If you have an account with Bank of America, move it. Because they can't do better. Do what they do to us, to them. So here is, this is from Tucker Carlson last night. He's the source on this because whoever blew the whistle went and told him.
The answer to that question. This show has obtained exclusively evidence that Bank of America, the second largest bank in the country with more than 60 million customers, is actively but secretly engaged in the hunt for extremists in cooperation with the government. Bank of America is, without the knowledge or the consent of its customers, sharing private information with federal law enforcement agencies. Bank of America effectively is acting as an intelligence agency, but they're not telling you about it. In the days after the January 6th riot at the Capitol, Bank of America went through its own customers' financial and transaction records, a lot of them. Now, these were the private records of Americans who had committed no crime. People who, as far as we know, had absolutely nothing to do with what happened at the Capitol on January 6th. But at the request of federal investigators, Bank of America searched its databases looking for people who fit a specific profile. Here's what that profile was, and we are quoting. Customers confirmed as transacting, either through bank account, debit card, or credit card, purchases in Washington, D.C. between January 5th and January 6th. Number two, purchases made for hotels, Airbnb, RSVPs in Washington, Virginia, or Maryland after January 6th. Number three, any purchase of weapons or at a weapons-related merchant between January 7th and their upcoming suspected stay in the D.C. area around Inauguration Day. And four, airline-related purchases since January 6th. End quote. So what do you notice about that profile? Well, the first thing you notice is that it's remarkably broad. Any purchases of anything in the city of Washington, D.C., any overnight stay anywhere in the three-state area, that spans hundreds of miles, any purchase, not simply of legal firearms, but instead anything bought from a, quote, weapons-related merchant, T-shirts included, and then any airline-related purchases, not just flights to Washington, flights to anywhere, to Omaha, to Thailand. That is a very, very wide net, an absurdly wide net. Bank of America identified a total of 211 customers who met these, quote, thresholds of interest. And it was at that point, the show has learned, Bank of America turned over the results of its internal scan to federal authorities, apparently without notifying the customers who were being spied upon. Federal investigators then interviewed at least one of these unsuspecting people. And that person, we've learned, hadn't done anything wrong, and in the end, was cleared. Imagine if you were that person. The FBI hauls you in for questioning in a terror investigation. Not because you've done anything suspicious, you haven't. You bought plane tickets and visited your country's capital. You thought you could do that. You thought it was your country. Now they're sweating you because your bank, which you trust with your most private information, information of everything you buy, has ratted you out to the feds without telling you, without your knowledge. Because Bank of America did that, you are being treated like a member of Al-Qaeda.
Mm.
What country is this?
Yeah, what country
is this? It doesn't matter how much you despise Donald Trump or how much you believe that hatred of Trump justifies suspending this country's ancient civil liberties. Going through that experience would scare the hell out of you. Absolutely. A terror suspect, you would think? Does anyone else know about this? Is there a record of this interview? Will I lose my job because of it?
Yep.
That actually happened to someone. It's hard to believe it, but it did. We asked Bank of America about this. They confirmed it actually happened by not denying it. Here is their statement in full, which manages to make the whole thing even creepier, assuming that's possible. Quote, we don't comment on our communications with law enforcement. Well, apparently not. All banks, it continues, have responsibilities under federal law to cooperate with law enforcement inquiries in full compliance with the law.
That's not true.
Now, the last part, from a lawyer's perspective, is the essence. In full compliance with the law. It's the law. We had no choice. But that's not true. Bank of America did have a choice. The bank could have resisted turning over information on its innocent customers to federal investigators, but Bank of America did not do that. Nor is it clear, if we're going to be precise about it, that what Bank of America did is even legal. It turns out it's not simple. It's a gray area. We spoke to a number of lawyers about this today. Some of them told us that what Bank of America did might in fact not be legal and could in fact be challenged in court. One knowledgeable attorney pointed us to 12 U.S.C. 3403. That's a federal law that allows banks to tip off the feds to any information that, quote, may be relevant to a possible violation of any statute or regulation.
All right, now, you get the flavor of this. Let's talk about what's going on here. So B-O-U-A, un-America. B-O-W-O-A, war against America, has unilaterally basically decided, hey, feds, we want to help you find Trump people, especially the ones that terrorized AOC, which didn't happen. We're going to go through the records and we're going to find all those creeps that have accounts with us that were in Mordor and the Potomac River on January the 6th and bought a NRA t-shirt. If they stopped at a store and bought a Bic lighter to light their bomb, we'll tell you about it. If they stayed at a hotel to make their bombs and other war-making implements, we'll tell you about it. This is betrayal. Now, let me tell you where we are here with this. And I don't know, I do not have an answer on how to get out of all of this because it's just such a wide, wicked web. So here's where we are. And how many of you people have driven through the great state of Louisiana, my home state, on Interstate 10? Especially if you were Interstate 12 heading west, meets Interstate 10 heading west. When you get to Rouge Beton, red stick in the river is what that means. When you get to Rouge Beton, and then all the way to Vinton, and then to Boma, to Orange, Texas, where the border is, if you didn't know better, you'd think the number one industry in Louisiana was lawyering. You think this guy Morris Bart or Gordon McKinnon were industrial titans of some sort? You'd go like, they must have $250,000 in billboards up. Holy moly. It must be blood sport in Louisiana for 18-wheelers to kill people in 4-wheelers. Yeah, that's a big 10-4 there, big buddy. I'm out here in the roads of Louisiana. Out there, yeah, you come on, I got 70,000 pounds looking for 4,000 pounds of crush. You look at these signs and go like, my goodness, is it possible that that many people get into deadly accidents with big trucks? I can't ever remember seeing one on said interstate. Now, I'm sure they happen. Here's my point. Those lawyers have the money to buy those billboards. They got it laying around. How's that possible? Because my insurance rates here are 3 to 4 times what they are next door in Texas. You know why? Because Texas has a Dewey Stick'em and How law. You take someone to court for some frivolous, I slipped and fell on your ice water suit, and you lose, you pay. We don't have that here in Louisiana. Instead, we have a stack of laws. Here, I'll show you if you're watching. This tall on tort suits. We lead the planet in exporting tort suits. As a matter of fact, if you're looking to make a new living, move to Louisiana, buy yourself a hoopty, and just keep driving around until some poor unsuspecting soul in an 18-wheeler cuts you off at a stop sign, bammo, you're paid. You don't even have to be injured. All you have to do is claim that you're injured. Now, how did this happen? Ethical standards were completely abandoned, and attorneys chasing ambulances were able to buy advertising to tell people, hey, I chase ambulances. All you got to do is get in an ambulance, and I'm your best friend. Now, don't let them kill you. You just mean to get maimed. Burnt, broken leg, you know, simple things. The scorched hair, you know, the usual stuff. Pulling an AOC and just say you heard someone trying to scare you. That's enough. We'll sue them. All of this now comes with, go to try and buy an auto insurance policy here in this state. Read it. Try and read it. 2 days later, when you're done, and you go like, what country am I in? What the hell just happened? I just want to buy some liability insurance. Can't.